bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam
ba bu ba bu ba.
Oh, definitely, Wendy. I know this is incredibly inside, but I'm very surprised by this. You and I were working on a promo for tomorrow's show, and you're required in the promo
to yell,
to growl, and you cannot. I can only do a
sexy growl. Wow,
that's what that
and
is.
And even that is ruined now. You've ruined me. No more sexy growls coming from me.
The way.
Ow.
Oh, no, you still get that. That one's still extremely sexy.
Ow. That's a growl. You wanted me to yell.
I wanted it to sound a little more angry and intense, so I said, try to do it. Go like this, like that, and you couldn't.
But you kept saying louder.
Yeah, louder and angrier. And you didn't have. You couldn't do it. But to your credit, I have to say this. I can't. I don't know if any guy can do this. I can't scream. I had a script a couple years ago. I was doing a voiceover, and I had to scream, and I can't make my voice scream.
I can't either, so I can't growl. That's not a growl. That's
scream.
More like a groan.
Arrgh! What is that? What was that, a groan? Arrgh!
That's Frankenstein.
Like let's say Frankenstein were chasing you, and his condition was, I'll let you go if you can imitate my voice. If you can mimic my...
I wouldn't be... I'd be eaten.
He'd tear you to shreds.
He wouldn't eat me.
No, Frankenstein's not a cannibal, Wendy. He's just a monster is all he is. He wouldn't eat you. That's sick.
My left vocal cord feels very strange.
Is it hurting now?
Yeah.
I feel responsible. That's on me. But just try it one more time. Ah! Like that.
No.
Blow out
I mean,
throat.
Honest to God.
It would hurt so much. I will try to scream. You want to hear me scream?
Yeah.
That's scarier than anything that would
scream.
Make me scream.
You know, in a dream when someone's chasing you or you are, you know, someone jumps out at you, in your dream you can't scream.
Yes.
In real life, I can't scream either.
Why do we all have that dream? Everyone I've ever talked to has had a version of that dream. What?
That's what it's like. You go to scream and nothing comes out.
Courage. That's like, but why does everybody have that same, like, when nightmaring, why would we all have
when
that same,
nightmaring,
what is it about that gets us that's such a common dream? Why that somebody's about to do something horrible to us, and in an attempt to scream, our voice doesn't play along? Why would we? I could see where some people would have it, but everyone I've ever talked about nightmares has that nightmare. Why?
Well, because it's sleep paralysis. It happens when you're dreaming,
yeah.
Or else you'd be screaming and waking your whole house up. Although there have been times that I guess I do make weird, like,
when
or something
sleeping,
like that, because Jim goes, Wendy, it's okay, you were dreaming. So I guess it does come out audibly. But, you know, that's why you sleep paralysis while you're dreaming, because sometimes you dream you're running on a trestle bridge. Maybe you don't have that dream, but I do.
A trestle bridge?
Like, you know, a train track.
Yeah.
A trestle bridge is...
What are you running from on the trestle bridge? A train?
A train, duh.
A train's going to get you?
Yes. And then I hear... No, I don't. Well, no, I'll save you.
Oh, no.
I dream about Dudley Do-Right a lot.
You've had the one where you need to, in running away from somebody, you need to ascend a staircase, but the stairs won't operate properly. You can't make any traction up the stairs. You've had that, right?
No.
You've never had that?
No. The teeth falling out is the most common one.
Yeah. Have you had the one, I used to have this one all the time, where all of a sudden you have the ability, if you move your arms properly, you can go airborne. You can fly to some extent. And you go, well, I don't know why I don't do this all the time. It's so easy. I don't get why I don't. Why wouldn't I fly all the time? Just by flapping your arms a little bit. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? Why do people have, why are those so common? The scream that doesn't work and the I can fly anytime I want to, I just choose not to. Why are those dreams that we all have? I wonder what happened a million years ago that put that in our brains.
Because there's not that much to dream about.
You've never seen Adrian Barbeau.
Adrian Barboob, as we used to call
Wendy.
Her.
Hold on, I'm writing that down. Hold on.
All right. I've had the dream where you're just trying to make traction on anything, not necessarily a staircase.
You just need to get somewhere and where the
and
elements
like,
won't allow it.
Like the Fred Flintstone, like you're not going anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we all dream about the same things, and then there's some good dreams, too. But these are just like, I don't know. When's that School of Metaphysics here in Chicago? They have that dream hotline. We used to talk to them once a year, and I like to get a dream interpreter on because it's pretty interesting. Dreaming about a common interpretation for teeth falling out, if you dream about your teeth falling out, is the fear of aging, becoming less efficient or productive at work, or lacking assertiveness.
I would want to agree with that, but I think the first time I had that, I was like 11 or something, and I wasn't afraid of aging when I was 11.
Well, maybe you weren't performing well in Little League, and it's also about becoming less efficient or lacking assertiveness. Maybe somebody was bullying you, so I'll show them my teeth will fall out.
Because
then they won't bully me anymore.
Well,
they'll feel sorry for me.
Yeah, I guess.
How's it going?
Right.
Well, I'll sound like Martha Ray. According to Freud, this dream represents sexual repression.
Nah.
Teeth falling
Freud
out.
Freud said that about everything. No matter what you'd throw Freud's way, he'd go, well, that's obviously sexual repression. I don't think so, Freud.
All right, well, here, this makes sense why you had the teeth falling out dream at 11.
Why?
Teeth falling out in a dream is considered a symbol of castration and fear regarding the male genitalia.
I was nearly castrated a couple times when I was 11. We had a weird pencil sharpener in our class. That's all I can say legally. My lawyers have advised me to not say any more.
Can I tell you, the school had the best pencil sharpeners in the whole wide world. They were, you put your pencil in, you did
it. But they looked like they were from 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, like from the medieval times.
They were mounted onto
like we had one
desk.
In our basement. My dad mounted it in the basement, right on the wall, so you could just go down in the basement. I know,
sharpen
whatever.
Sharpen a bunch of pencils.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
But back then, the old pencil sharpener, you'd put your pencil in, you'd go around a few times, you'd pull it out, blow off the dust.
Pencil, magic pencil dust.
And then you'd have a sharpened pencil. Now, when you have, like, I have an electric one.
Yeah.
And you put it in. But it doesn't even work. It's like it's kind of sharpens at like an awkward, uneven level.
Right.
So then by the time you get it perfectly sharpened, there's like an inch left of the pencil.
I know. The old days were the better days when it comes to the world of pencil sharpening.
But a good pencil sharpener.
It had like a weird, it was a color that was kind of coppery, but it looked like it was from 110 years ago.
It was like rusty bronze.
There were cylinders on the side.
Yeah.
You didn't know what they did. They were just circles.
You didn't know what they did?
I have no idea what they
did. You move those to correspond with how big your pencil is, because in kindergarten you had the really thick pencils, and that would accommodate it. You just moved the little circle.
Oh, you slide it around?
You never knew what that was for.
No. I would always hire a kid to do my pencil sharpening
for
me. My friend Alan did it.
Did your classrooms have chores where I was very happy to get, like, washing the blackboards? That would be fun.
Yeah.
Or cleaning the erasers.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other chores. Giving my teacher a pedicure. That one sucked. I hated when I got
that.
That
one may not have been supported by the school, Wendy. I got to be honest.
It was a guy, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was extracurricular. Some of us got chosen. All right, so two people benefited from this. The eighth graders, they would always pick boys, and I was always upset about this because I thought the girls could also do this, and they could be cleaners. So what the boys would do is they would get out of homeroom 15 minutes early, and they would go to Bob Copper's office. He was the janitor, the custodian of our school.
That was his real name.
Bob Copper's.
That is the perfect name for a janitor.
And they would get this giant
like a giant Swiffer?
Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah.
But like a heavy-duty one.
It was a broom slash mop, and it was very elongated.
It looked like the kind of mop that you would see at a car wash, you know, one of the ones that kind of batters your car and makes it clean. So you got chosen. They would choose 20 boys that were eighth graders to do this, and you made pretty decent money. It was like $1 a
day.
Wait,
you got paid?
Yeah. You got paid to clean the classroom. You were assigned, how many rooms did they do? 4 rooms, maybe? Yeah.
So you got to get out of class early and
get
paid?
You got out early, and you got paid, and When I was in second grade, they started a new program where you were like an apprentice to the cleaner. So your job was to know where all the desks were because there were squares on the floor. So you would have to memorize the desk pattern of the rooms, and you would slide all the desks from one end of the room to the other and then back and then put them where they belonged. That was actually the harder
That's
job.
That's a tough gig.
And it was up to the cleaner to decide how much money out of his dollar a day he would give you. So you usually standard was a quarter. Jeez. Some kids didn't give as much. Some gave a little bit more. But what an honor it was to be chosen as either a cleaner or a cleaner's apprentice. There was no higher office you could have achieved.
What grade was this, junior high?
This was grade school, yeah. So eighth graders, cleaners, second grade boys, apprentices. But when you got chosen, what a bad, I mean, that was...
What a badass thing, were you going to say?
No, a badge of courage, badge of honor, because you could walk a little prouder knowing that the school chose you or one of the
to
cleaners
be a janitor.
Chose you. Yeah. But then, this is a this sit down. I know you're already sitting down. Sit down more for this.
I'll lay down.
Bill Cummins, when I was in second grade, Bill Cummins, my friend Sarah's older brother, was one of the eighth grade cleaners. And he chose me to be his apprentice. So one day he said to me, I was moving desks, he was cleaning, and it was just a lot of small talk. Sometimes you talk about sports, sometimes you talk about whatever kids talk about. So he said, hey, what do you think about Mrs. And then he mentions a teacher's name that was very attractive. And I said, oh yeah, she's pretty. And he goes, how pretty do you think she is? And I said, I think she's very pretty. And he said, would you like to marry her? And I said, well, I don't think she would marry me because I'm in second grade and there's no way for me to, I couldn't keep her in the lifestyle that she's accustomed to. So he said, tomorrow I'm going to tell the whole school, because he also did the announcements in the morning.
Oh, that's
I'm gonna
the job
announce
I would want.
To the student body that you you're attracted to her. And I said, why would you do that? And he goes, I just think it'll be funny. So then the next day, during school announcements, I was sure that Bill Cummins was going to tell the whole school that I liked this teacher. He didn't, but I had 20 straight hours of fear, sure that the school would find out that I liked her, but that I couldn't marry her because of our age difference.
This mostly. Explains why you prank people, because that kid
Bill
ruined
Cummins.
You.
Bill Cummins ruined me. He's the one who set me on a path of this.
To get back, to get even.
Yeah, I think anytime I pull a prank on somebody, it's to get back at Bill Cummins. Yes. I think you're onto something.
I think he's the catalyst.
By the way, I still, one day a week, go back and help out with the desks at my school.
Good
well,
for
just
you.
Just one day a week. But now it's 40 cents a day. It used to be 25 cents a day. I now earn 40 cents a day. And I don't put it on my taxes.
Wow, you're living dangerously.
It's just money in my pocket.
I was a patrol girl in eighth grade.
What did you have to do?
You got to leave 10 minutes early.
Like
and,
a crossing guard?
Yes, because where I went to junior high, there was a school that connected to it that was K through 6, my mm-hmm. junior, or K through 5, mm-hmm. and then the junior high was 6, 7, and 8. So there were a couple of crossings where there would be younger kids going as well. So.
Yeah.
We would get out 10 minutes early, and the patrol was every other week. So every other week, my friend Sue and I were in French class, mm-hmm. and every other week we were supposed to leave at 10 to 3 mm-hmm. and go on patrol. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Sue and I figured out we could just leave.
You just go home.
No, we just leave instead of every other week. We just left every day at 10-2, and she was none the wiser. She just, I don't know why she didn't figure out, wait, why do Sue and Wendy leave every other week,
yeah.
and now all of a sudden they're just leaving every day, and we just would go, we have patrol, and we'd just go goof around. So one week we'd be on patrol and have to do it, and then the next week we'd just leave at 10 to the hour.
And go home, right?
Well, because we'd want to hang around with kids after school, but we would just get out of class early.
And they never caught you?
No.
They never found you out?
No, we didn't do very well in French either. I mean, I took
sure of it.
2 years of junior high French and I think 2 years of high school French.
Yeah.
You'd think I would be... not fluent, but better than I am.
Sure.
I'm not very good.
Well, because you miss so much of it.
Just in junior high and only 10 minutes.
Well, but that adds up. 10 minutes
I guess.
Every now and then. Did you have bathroom monitors at your school?
Like,
we had bathroom monitors, and it was their whole job. like, we always went to the bathroom. Now, keep in mind, I don't use public restrooms, but when I would explain that to the teachers, they wouldn't buy. They would say, no, you have to go to the bathroom. And I'd say, I don't have to go to the bathroom. You can't. That's not a bargain.
You can't.
It's up to me. It's up to me if I want to go to the bathroom or not. So they would still make me go through the paces of standing in line and going to the bathroom, but not going to the bathroom. You know
Wait,
I mean?
Why did you even have to go in there?
That's what I said. I said, part of me not wanting to use the public restroom is I don't like it in there because I don't. And they'd always, the teachers always go, no, but you, because I guess if you're the teacher, let's say one of my kidneys exploded, the teacher would then have to be responsible and say, I told him to go to the bathroom. You know how this kid is. He just doesn't go.
But you had to go as a group, didn't
well,
you?
Well, we went in groups of six.
What grade was this?
This was first grade through fifth grade.
Oh, I guess. All right, girls are going to the bathroom now, boys are going now, I guess.
Well, we went simultaneously, but you'd have to line up. And for some reason, I think I've told you this, they didn't go alphabetically at first. They went by height. So the shorter kids, I would have made the taller kids go first because you'd think there's more bladder space. They'd have to go more, I would think. I don't know. But we would line up by height. David Freese was always first, Bill Panko in the back. And in groups of six, we would go. And then whoever the bathroom monitor is would stand by the door with a card and a pencil.
This was a kid or
an adult? Yeah, a kid. And if you talked, if you said anything, they would write your name down. And at the end of the bathroom cycle, they would show that to the teacher. And she'd say, oh, no, three of you are in a lot of trouble because you talked in the bathroom. No talking in the bathroom.
That's when you talk.
You would think.
And what a crappy job.
Yeah.
For the
kids are still doing that. That's what they that's what they do for a living, Wendy. I don't know how you make any money being a bathroom monitor. Tips, I guess. I don't know. But that was one of the confusing things to me is, why are you making us do this? Some of us don't need to use the bathroom. And why won't you let us talk once we're in the bathroom?
Because then you'll dilly-dally.
Haven't you earned that right, though?
Yeah.
Hard 6.5-hour school day. You can talk a little bit in the bathroom.
I don't know. I have to tell you, I meant to tell you on our earlier show that I watched season one of Fleabag and I love it.
Isn't it great?
But there's...
And Brett Gelman, by the way, a guest on our show mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, who plays the brother-in-law on the show, Martin, was on Colbert's show last night and he was very, very funny.
He is so good in this and such a jerk.
Awful person. Yeah.
I do love it.
The character is awful.
I think people should just watch Fleabag and make up their own mind because I guess in my head I thought it was... there is a lot of sex, but that's not the story.
Right.
Like, in my mind, I was like, what, is she a prostitute?
No.
She
just uses sex...
as a weapon.
To what she thinks is her advantage, but it is not.
Yeah.
Right?
But even that is not... I mean, just know there's a lot of sex, and that's all you need to know. It's... because what I expected from what everyone has told me was not what I got, and I liked it better.
Yeah.
And she is so funny.
She's perfect.
What's her name?
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
But they were on a retreat where they couldn't talk, and I was literally freaking out because it's like I would have never, would have never lasted. I would have broken out.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't stay here. I would have went running away.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
Oh, that freaked me out.
We'll
very good
more,
though, by the way.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
All right. A slight break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy. WGN. Thank you, Kim.
Are you still wearing shorts, Bill?
No, I'm wearing longs.
I'm surprised you already made the switch. It hasn't really been that cold yet.
I started last week, one day last week, had a meeting after
Switched
the show.
Switched out your closet?
No, the closet remains intact.
Okay.
And the more accessible stuff is my summer wear, but I don't know.
Summer wear? You're such a girl.
I just...
my summer wear.
My summer wear. I have a question, Wendy. You said that you just binged the first season of Fleabag. That's 6 episodes.
Yes.
How is it? Good? I really want to watch
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
It's so good.
Start watching
it's
it.
So good. Did you know when you sat down that you would watch an entire season's worth, or did you just watch one and go, oh, you know what, I'll throw in another one, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I just watched 6 back to back to back?
The boys were busy last night, including Jim, who was podcasting, so I was just hanging with Kona on the couch, and I'm like, I am just going to binge this mother.
Oh.
And I didn't know how many episodes, but I was just going to keep watching until I had to go to bed.
There's 6 episodes in each of the first 2 seasons, and I've been told that now it's over, that they're not going to do more, and I hope that's not the
case.
Wait
a minute. The show's
over?
Amazon
Prime or Netflix? Which one is it?
Amazon Prime. Okay. Wait, the series is, they're not going to do new episodes?
That's what I've been told. I hope that's not the correct answer, because I want more.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
You know, when something's so popular, they do end up doing more, because this happened with two series that I loved, and they said two, and that's it, and now they're bringing back third episodes for both.
What are those
shows?
Well,
Fauda is one, which is unbelievable.
Is that?
It's an Israeli show that is about people in the, basically, in the Israeli CIA.
Oh, I've never even heard of that. So it's kind of like Homeland?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Homeland is based on this.
I do know what this is.
It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. They're coming out. Fauda 3 is being shot right now. It's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And also another Israeli show that I like called Shtisel.
Yeah, what goes on there?
Is that a dessert?
You have to be careful the way you say it.
Wait, why?
Because it's cold. You know.
I thought if you put the stress on one syllable, it means something nice, and if you put it on the other, it doesn't.
Just like if you reverse
mix
the I
up.
And the T, it could be something else.
Yeah, I guess it
but
can.
But it's a drama about an Orthodox family living in Israel and what they go through.
Oh, that
and
sounds
some
interesting.
Some of it, it's very dark, and some of it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's great.
All right. Well, the Homeland one for sure.
Oh, Fauda. You sit on the
edge. How do you spell that?
Fauda.
Oh,
and when
I
first started watching it, I did what Wendy did. I'm like, oh, or what you said. I'm going to watch one and see how I like it. Four episodes later, we can't stop.
Really?
You just start binging it. Yes.
All right. You talked me into it.
And there's two seasons. It's so good. You sit on the edge of your seat. It's unbelievable.
Well, I started watching not knowing there were only six episodes, so I thought, let's just get as far as I can get, because it just won all these awards. Phoebe Waller-Bridge was just on SNL.
She was great, too, on SNL.
She was one of the best hosts I've seen in a while.
She's very talented.
And I didn't know anything about her, and I just love her. You had talked about the way she works the camera. I didn't know it was, what's that called, breaking the wall?
Breaking the third wall.
Like on The Office. It's very similar to
other
that, just with her, though.
Right.
No other person.
Right.
And I didn't know what to expect. In the first episode, I was like, and then I kept watching, and if time didn't run out, I would have finished the second
season.
Would
you really?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like 12:15, and I'm like, I got to get up at 6:45. I got to go to bed. But I started watching the first episode of season two.
I've talked to so many people who can watch a whole season at a time. So with this,
there were only six.
It's six episodes, and they're all 25 minutes, so that's not horrible. But I've got friends who it'll be a drama, like a one-hour drama, and they'll go, knocked out 12 of them back to back, and you go, how do you do that?
I know.
How can you do that?
Well, I have to get up and walk around in between.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do it.
I could have maybe done it with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I did it to some. I would see for me, two or three episodes that's a busy night to watch two or three. The Bryan Cranston one. I'm blanking.
Breaking Bad.
All right. So everybody already knew how great that was, and we were a little behind on that one. So I was watching two or three of those per night for a while. And Mad Men, I did the same thing too. I came in late on Mad Men, so to catch up for that, I was watching two or three a night. But even that seemed like, wow, that's a long time to just be parked in front of a TV.
Yeah.
I used to do it without even blinking, but now I have a hard time pulling that off.
I did it with Twin Peaks.
Did you? With the new version.
Reboot. And then my son Michael wanted to watch the old ones too, so I started watching with him.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you got nothing going on,
then why not?
Yeah, I mean,
this guy Brett Gelman that I'm talking about from Stranger Things and from Fleabag is also on Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I know. We talked to him about
I don't remember.
I brought it up with him.
Was he on the original one or just the new one?
I don't remember. You can listen to our podcast at WGNRadio.com.
Wendy, I can't listen.
You know, I think it's a guy-girl thing, because I will say something to Bill, like when we were talking to him, I said, and he was in, you were in Twin Peaks, one of my favorite shows. Bill doesn't remember that. Sometimes I'll say something to my husband, like, you know, hey, we're going to go do this after work today, and then I'll come home and he'll be like, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, does anyone listen? Do the words come out in word form?
No, they do not. They don't. I wish I could say they did.
I think he was in the reboot. I think he was in the reboot.
Just in the new ones.
Yeah.
Only in the new ones. Have either of you heard of a show called Rake?
I've heard of it. Why have I heard of it?
Terry's sister recommended it to us, so we watched the first episode a few nights ago. And in this case, I liked it, but there's five seasons of it, and they're long seasons.
So
I'm trying in my head to go, do I want to put in 40-some-odd hours? But what I saw in the first one was very entertaining. It's a guy who is a lawyer in Australia, and he takes some very strange cases.
Oh, that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. All the secondary characters were interesting, but the thing that I focused on, this was a stupid thing to focus on, but I couldn't shake it, is there's a bunch of scenes that take place in the courtroom in Australia. It's a comedy. He's representing, do you know who the actor Hugo Weaving is? Did you ever see him in anything?
Nope. Mm-mm.
He's in all the Lord of the Rings movies. He always plays an elf elder.
No, I would never.
That's a goalie.
I'm not a Lord of the Rings type of gal.
Well, in this, he plays a very prominent citizen in Australia who also is a cannibal. And the argument is, I only eat people who are already dead. So there is no law in Australia against that. If you kill somebody, it's illegal to kill anybody. But once they're dead, you're free to eat
them.
There's no law. Yeah. So that's the argument. So that's the first episode. Anyway. I was so fixated on the fact that in Australia, like they do in England, when they try a case in the court of law, the attorneys all wear that...
Oh, the powdered wig?
That powdered wig from like the 18th century.
Like they're in the British Parliament?
Yes. And I kept thinking that at some point somebody's got to say to them, guys, we don't have to do that anymore. That was from a long time ago, and it was fine back then, but...
They like it.
Do they like it, though?
I mean, they do it in Britain, too. In their courts and
right,
in the parliament.
Right, they do. But
why?
Don't they know they don't have to do that anymore?
I don't you think it'd be so itchy?
Yes. Yes. So incredibly itchy, but just so distracting.
Yeah.
Does current day still do it?
Yeah.
Right now.
British and Australian.
Well, I guess baseball players wear baseball caps. That's part of the uniform.
But... couldn't they look at other societies like our own, idyllic society here in America, where if an attorney showed up and he had the powdered wig on, the judge would go,
out of courtroom.
All right, we can't have this. We cannot have this in my courtroom. What
do
are you
women
doing?
Wear them too?
I don't know the answer
are
to that.
Are there women?
I hate to admit,
sick.
I don't know the answer to that. There should be, right? Is it possible that there's no British attorneys trying cases who are women in England or Australia? There has to be. So would they dress like...
I mean, I know the judges wear them for sure. Even the attorneys do? Really?
Yeah, the attorneys do.
Judge Judy wears one.
Yeah, she does. And she pulls it off. She looks great in it.
This was last a couple of years ago. Why do British lawyers still wear wigs? The drama of a criminal trial has a macabre allure.
Oh.
In America, strangers line up to enter courtrooms as spectators of high-profile proceedings. Those who can't be there in person watch live stream. Blah, blah, blah. When was the last time you saw a lawyer or judge wearing a powdered wig? While this isn't a tradition you'll find in America, excepting historic reenactments.
Right.
In England, wigs remain an important part of formal courtroom attire for judges and barristers.
Mm.
Barristers. Bannister.
Yeah.
Bannerman! sorry.
That was Wendy's tribute to home opener. That's
barristers?
Why.
Is that it? That's
barrister.
The term. All right, I was
barrister.
Right. See, I should trust my gut.
Yeah.
That's the term for lawyers there. Many of the judge and barristers who wear wigs in court say the headpiece, also known as a peruke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Peruke brings
we
a sense.
We used to work with a guy who had that
Brian
last name. Brian Peruke.
Now he's working with that guy in the morning.
Yeah. But Brian never wore a powdered wig, did he? I don't
Not
think
that
he
we
did.
Knew of.
I didn't see him ever
if
wear
he did,
one.
It wasn't
Now you
a
know
good
where
one.
His name came from.
Right.
Spelled differently, but right. Yes. Oh. So the peruke brings a sense of formality and solemnity to proceedings.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, say it.
I can't.
I think it is solemnity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe you are correct.
Yeah.
In fact, that is the overwhelming... Now I'm scared to say any word.
But I couldn't.
That's the point for having them.
I don't know. If I was in a courtroom with that, that would be all I could focus on was the fact that they were dressed like they were from 300 years ago.
Well, but I guess if you always see it, you don't think about it.
Right. But shouldn't they be given the option, Kim? Shouldn't somebody?
No, here's why. Like many uniforms, wigs are an emblem of anonymity, an attempt to distance the wearer from personal involvement and a way to visually draw on the supremacy of the law, says Newton. Wigs are so much a part of British criminal courts that if a barrister doesn't wear a wig, it's seen as an insult to the court. It is like you're playing the part of the barrister, so you are able to put your personal feelings aside.
I'd walk in there and I'd go, my name is Alexander Hamilton.
That would get attention.
Barristers must wear a wig slightly frizzed at the crown.
Yeah.
So they look like a frazzled lawyer?
With horizontal curls on the sides and back. In addition, there are two long strips of hair that hang down below the hairline on the neck and sport a loop.
Pesach curls, Kim.
Yeah.
And sport a looped curl at each end. Different types of lawyers, though, have distinctions in the style of wig. Just like the Fannie Mae candy that has the swirl that's different. The wigs are different.
Like Orthodox Jews.
A judge's wig is similar, but it's more ornate. So you didn't think there were different variations of the wig.
That is like an Orthodox Jew because, you know, the way you wear
your curls
is from the sect that you're part of.
Yes. Yes.
I like those tendrils that come down.
Curls.
Yeah.
Yep. But I knew they were different, but I thought like if you were the judge or one of the attorneys that maybe you had a case with four or five of them, you would look in the case and you go, oh, I'll go with this one today. I didn't know that it had to do with your rank.
Well, and it also said most wigs are made of white horsehair, but as a wig yellows with age, it takes on a coveted patina that conveys experience.
Oh.
So you would want a yellowed hair judge.
Oh, I guess so.
Sounds like something out of the Oompa Loompa land or something. Could I have a yellow-haired judge? Horsehair may not seem like a particularly precious material, but they pair specialty hair with an age-old craft of styling, sewing, and gluing, and these wigs aren't cheap. A judge's full-length wig can cost more than $3,000.
Oh, wow.
What?
While the shorter ones worn by barristers cost more than $500.
That's a bargain.
Wow.
When are the sales? When are the big barrister wig sales?
I don't know, like a Filene's Basement type of thing. Gotta
Friday.
Move them. In the 17th century, only the elite wore powdered wigs made of horsehair. Those who couldn't afford the elite garb but wanted to look the part wore wigs made of hair from goats, spooled cotton, or human corpses. Itchier.
Yeah.
There was also a steady trade that involved living people who sold their long hair for wigs. Though horsehair remained the ideal.
Oh.
So kind of locks for love kind of thing. But they have different...
Locks for law.
Yeah.
That's a new charity that they're trying to get off the ground.
There's a variety of perukes, and there's a picture of them.
Where could you get one locally, Wendy? What if I wanted to get you one?
Amazon, for sure.
Is Amazon the way to go? Because they deliver the next day. You get it the next day. You could be in court by 3 o'clock if you wanted it.
It's so ridiculous,
Peruke
too. Yeah, I like that. Because the wig is white, although if the wearer has dark hair and sideburns and a beard,
it doesn't even match.
Right.
It doesn't even come close.
And you can tell it's a wig. It's not like it's fully formed.
When you see it in this show, in Rake, or in any show that shows lawyers from the UK, you're right. They make no attempt at all to make it blend in. You can see the person's hair, and then all of a sudden, it's just laying on top, you know. And I don't know. I as I'm watching it, I'm just saying to myself,
I agree with you. It would be a huge distraction
for
me.
It's so dated, you know. And why are they, if they're doing it in England and in Australia, why isn't all of Europe doing it? Or maybe they are.
Or any British colonies.
Right.
I didn't realize they had different looks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder if I opened up a small peruke shop here in Chicago, how it would do.
What would
you might want to open it up close to 26 and Cal.
Yeah, close to the courtroom.
Yeah.
And then I'd go in every once in a while. You know how the pharmaceutical companies come in with samples?
Right.
I'd go in and I go, guys, just, I know this is crazy.
Look at this fine horse hair that I have.
Yeah. If you don't like it, I get it. You don't have. There's no obligation. Just wear it for a day. See what kind of response you get. But if you don't like it, I get it. I'm not pushing it on you.
We are almost out of time, but I wanted to do a story, What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Bill, do you remember when I got in today, I said I had the sickest...
Grossest story you've ever heard. That's what you told me.
Should I leave now or tough
it's
it out?
It's pretty bad.
It's the grossest story I've ever heard.
Because
did it happen to you or somebody
No,
you know?
This is in the news. It happened, and Kim, you may have seen this in the news, but a flight from Chicago to Baltimore got off to a rough start yesterday morning. There was one passenger who...
Careful.
Threw up on a passenger in front of him.
There's
video. An unrelated passenger aboard the, it was Spirit Airlines, an unrelated passenger aboard the plane shared the video with ABC 7 Eyewitness News. She said there was a man who was sitting behind her and he vomited on her head. And they show, like, all right, it's just so...
Did it start a domino effect?
No, but it would have with me. Like, I would have just, that's it.
I'm okay, but my husband would have...
Gag reflex?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So this guy was drunk.
Why was there video of this? What happened?
I don't know. An unrelated passenger. So somebody who was just sitting there going, oh, my God, check this out.
Yeah.
That's why it happened. I can't... Listen, I like to think I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do this because you could see stuff in her hair, and that would have just set me off. I really would have thrown up as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There are sometimes... There was the drawbridge was going up behind us over Lakeshore Drive.
On the Phoebe Waller Bridge behind us? Yeah.
And G from the morning show... was taking a video of, or she pointed it out to me. She goes, oh, look at the bridge.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I should take a picture of that. Or she said, I took a video earlier this morning. My head didn't even go there to take a picture of it. So I wouldn't be the one videotaping.
Yeah.
But everyone had to deplane. Crews had to deep clean that plane before they were able to take off. The passenger who shared the video said the woman was forced to clean the vomit out of her hair in a sink.
Ew.
Eventually, the flight was able to take off, but there was another couple hour delay because there were two more drunk passengers that locked themselves in the bathroom and they couldn't take off. What is wrong with people?
Where are these people going?
Baltimore.
Yep, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Vegas,
I
would make sense.
I was just going to say, I get it on a
Jamaica?
Flight to Vegas. But oh my goodness.
Is
that what it takes to get to Baltimore?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That is the sickest story I've ever heard.
Terrible.
It was like a drunk person.
I'm honestly really, though, surprised that more people didn't throw up. Because when you see that and that starts happening, so many people like throw up at the sight of throw up.
Could you ever apologize enough to that woman? I'm not even saying the person who did the throwing up did
Spirit
apologize.
Spirit Airlines, I mean, they've got to do something for that.
Listen, that's not necessarily Spirit's fault, though.
I know, but you would think... If you're sitting on their airplane, and you smell that and you just have to go through that, I mean, come on.
But I mean, it could have happened on Southwest. I've seen drunk people there too, or United.
Yeah, it could happen anywhere.
And I just am. I couldn't even imagine. Like, if all of a sudden you probably this guy was a little belligerent to begin with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I could see if I was sitting in this woman's seat, I'd be looking at Jim going, oh, God, this is going to be a long flight. And then all of a sudden I get vomited on.
At least they weren't off the ground.
Oh, God.
They'd
have to divert for the...
I'm going to start carrying, like...
An umbrella.
An umbrella?
A hat umbrella.
A hood?
The Brock umbrella. The Lou Brock umbrella hat. I'm going to start carrying that.
Now you get, get on the airplane and just pass out throw-up bags to everybody before you even take off. Just in case. Here you go. Please.
I am wrapping myself in saran wrap anytime I go anywhere in public.
That's not a bad idea.
It's a good idea.
A giant thing of saran wrap?
It'll be hard. I'll walk like Morticia Adams.
How about just Lucite? Just put like a Lucite cube over your
head. How are you going to sit?
Well, not comfortably.
Put the cubes on your head. How about just a football helmet?
Yeah, a football helmet would be good. Yeah.
They're not really that great for concussions, apparently, so we could use them for other things.
Could you sue the person who threw up or not?
Well, I don't know what's become of this. I certainly would. Although, honestly, what are you going to sue them for? It didn't kill you. It inconvenienced you. What's that worth? $20? I mean...
There's got to be something in there.
I bet you wouldn't want a free drink.
No. No.
But, I mean, how do you come to a conclusion as to how much that would be worth?
Mental anguish.
Yeah, but... Not really.
It's
It is.
Hire a barrister from London in their wig. If somebody throws up on them, all they have to do is take the wig off.
Problem solved. Maybe
all right, I'm going to start wearing them when I fly.
There you go.
Is that a barrister? No, it's Wendy Snyder.
No, it's Wendy. She always wears that when she flies in case somebody gets sick.
I'm warning you, people don't watch the video because she was a blonde girl and you could see it was terrible.
Oh.
It was terrible. I there's no way I would have continued on my flight to Baltimore. No, I would have gone home and cried.
Yeah, right.
I would have gone immediately to a blow dry bar.
wash it. Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't have.
Which terminal is that in, Kim? I can never remember it.
The blow dry bar? Yeah. I don't know, but I'd find one.
Is that the United terminal? I don't know. Is it better that she didn't know this person who threw up on her?
Think it's worse.
Is it worse? I can't decide.
It's someone you knew.
If your kids, your kids have done. I've got, caught my kids throw up and,
Yeah, but that's a kid. Now, what if a best friend of yours, your best friend was sitting behind you because that's the only way the seats were going.
Wouldn't you hold it against them forever?
No, wouldn't? That's your best friend.
Yeah. I mean, my kids, I have to say, they used to think it was really cool to fly. Remember when Southwest had the backward seats?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, and you could sit backwards, and my kids thought, oh, we're going to sit backwards. This is going to be so cool. And then my son drank tomato juice, and then what happened? I'm sitting there, catching it in my hands.
Yeah, one of my kids flew up. When we landed in Hawaii, Dylan was maybe 6 months old.
Yeah.
6 weeks old. It was just baby stuff, though.
Yeah.
But still, it was kind of...
I've caught a lot.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with us until the last 2 minutes. We'll say goodbye in just a little bit. Stick around, Bill and Woody, WGN.
Good night. Good night. Until we meet again.
All right. We're back tomorrow. It was fun to hang out. A lot of guests today, and not so many tomorrow.
No, we will talk to people from the Broadcast Museum about a new exhibit that's right up your alley, Wendy, about the history of rock and roll on TV.
Awesome.
All right, that's it for today. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Good night. Sleep tight.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.